You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back for another edition of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And a big shout out to our friends at Raider Nation Radio, because we have once again crashed their party. And God, man, they're just the best hosts. They really are. They just let us hang out. We come in, have a few laughs, have a few chuckles, all socially distanced and wearing masks and all that stuff, of course. But they've really been awesome hosts for us for the past few weeks, and we really, really, really appreciate them. So, guys, we find ourselves in a pickle, don't we? We sure do. The Raiders welcoming the Colts to town just a few days ago, and things don't go to plan as Phil Rivers and the boys take down the silver and black 44-27. And now the situation we find ourselves in, not a great one. Could be better, certainly could be worse. But the situation we find ourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, the Raiders really got to take care of business these next 3 weeks. And I don't have the full mathematical equation breakdown of how this team can or cannot get into the postseason, yada, yada, yada. What I do know is, at the beginning of the season, we said it's probably going to take 10 wins to get into the playoffs. The Raiders are at 7. They got 3 games left. 7 plus 3, 10. Now, the Raiders don't control their own destiny anymore because of what happened on Sunday, and I guess technically Monday night. But there's still a path. But boy, oh boy, you have got to take care of business this Thursday night against the Chargers. You have no choice. Your backs are up against the wall. You need a win in the worst way. Can this team get one? We will find out in just about, this will come out Wednesday morning, in just about 36 hours. And the big news, guys, coming out of Sunday's game, and obviously I think that the word coming out of Sunday's game, if we're going to put it into a single phrase, it's just disappointment. I think that's the fair way to kind of sum it up. It was a game that, even after the past struggles that this team has had, you know, it was a game of disappointment. Obviously, 200 yards allowed on the ground again. And because of that, a coaching change had to be made. And we're going to get to that. And we will talk about what kind of went into that decision. And actually, segue alert, in lieu of a guest this week, guys, because we are on the short week, Thursday Night Football and all, and this is just a crazy week for everyone in the organization. It's a crazy week for us in the digital department. It's a crazy week for our PR staff. It's just a crazy week in general. What we're going to do, instead of having our usual interview in just a few minutes, we are going to play Rod Marinelli's first press conference as defensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders, and we're just going to play it in its entirety. We have heard so much for the past couple days about how excited people are about Coach Marinelli now being at the helm, and we figured, you know what? Let's let him talk to you. Let's let you guys hear what we all heard, I guess technically yesterday. So in just a few minutes, we're just going to play that whole press conference, and hopefully you guys enjoy it, and hopefully you'll be like us, you'll be like me, where you come out really, really excited and fired up for what's going to happen on the defensive side of the football these next 3 weeks. But before we do that, before we welcome in Coach Marinelli, before we kind of talk about everything that went into the ultimate decision to make him defensive coordinator for the remainder of 2020, we begin with, guys, you know what we got to do, transactions. So we begin in chronological order since the last time we spoke. So without further ado, on December 10th, the Raiders signed defensive tackle Lee Autry to the practice squad and released Marcel Aitman from the practice squad. On December 12th, the team placed safety Jeff Heath on the reserve injured list and signed defensive end Chris Smith to the active roster from the practice squad, and also activated defensive end Vic Beasley from the practice squad. Just 2 days later, on the 14th, the Silver and Black waived guard Patrick Omame and signed defensive tackle Niall Scott to the practice squad and released defensive tackle Lee Autry, the aforementioned, from the practice squad, and Vic Beasley reverted to the practice squad. A lot of practice squad transactions this week. And then finally, yesterday, just before we came on the air, the Raiders signed defensive end Vic Beasley to the active roster, signed wide receiver Marcel Aitman back to the practice squad, designated defensive end Tack McKinley for return, and placed wide receiver Henry Ruggs the third on the reserve COVID list. More on that in just a second. Well, actually, let's just do that right now. Let's just launch into our first headline of Henry Ruggs the third on the COVID list. the gift that keeps on giving in 2020, man. And every team is dealing with it. Every team has been affected by this in some capacity. And the Raiders and Henry Ruggs now the most recent addition to that list. Oh, so what happens? Obviously, number one, we wish Henry well. We hope he is safe. We hope he's healthy. We hope he's able to bounce back quick, fast, in a hurry. But he will not be playing Thursday night when the Raiders take on the Los Angeles Chargers. So who steps up now in his stead, in his absence? I mean, the easy answer, I think, is Bryan Edwards. But I think the more complicated, more nuanced answer is, I don't know if the Raiders really have someone on this roster right now that can replicate what Henry Ruggs does. And the stats are not overly, I don't want to say overly impressive. They're not huge, though, this year. We all know that. But what Henry Ruggs does to a defense is he makes you account for him everywhere he goes. Even if he's not catching footballs, even if he's not catching passes from DC, if you're a defensive coordinator, you have to know where Henry Ruggs is at all times because he is that fast. He has that game-breaking home run speed. That's why he was drafted where he was drafted. Because there's not a lot of guys who have that gift. And that's not a shot at anyone else on the Raiders offense at all. I'm just saying Henry Ruggs III is such a rare breed in having that ability. So it's going to be a collective effort to kind of bring up the rest of this offense. I think Bryan Edwards is going to get a lot more snaps. We're going to see Nelson Aguilar has obviously become wide receiver one on this team. So he's going to have a lot more on his shoulders. We're going to need more from Hunter Renfrow. Maybe we're going to see a little bit more Zay Jones on Thursday night against the Bolts. Maybe passing and catching. I mean, shout out to Zay for his 129-yard reception against the Colts the other day. That was a good-looking pass. But to go back to kind of the importance of this game, this is a game the Raiders need. They are going to need their dogs on offense to put up points. They're going to need Derek to be at his best. They're going to need this offensive line to do what they do, to be that imposing, dominant offensive line that we have seen through so much of 2020. But really, for me, what this game is going to come down to, guys, and this is not a secret, is the defense. And there is a new voice that will be at the helm of that defense. Coach Gruden talked about the need for a new voice. He talked about the need for a new energy, a new person kind of at the controls. Rod Marinelli is going to be that guy. And you will hear in just a second when we play his press conference. He is a man in control. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit with KMM as we wrap up the show in victory formation. But I was so impressed by what I heard from Coach Marinelli's introductory. Well, I wouldn't say introductory. His first press conference as defensive coordinator yesterday. He is a new voice. He is a refreshing voice. He is a man that is not here for the BS. He is a guy that takes this job with 40 plus years of coaching experience. Guys, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame one day. And now he has a big task ahead of him. He has got to get this defense to a good place in the next 3 weeks. Because as I said, I feel good about this offense. I really do. I know that the past couple weeks haven't been the prettiest. I totally get that. I really do. I can understand the frustration with the offense. I can. I promise you guys. But I believe in them. I really do. I believe in Derek. I believe in Josh. I believe in this offensive line. I believe in Coach Gruden. I believe in Ole. They're going to figure out a way to get this done in the biggest games. In my heart of hearts, I believe that. So for me, the question is, what is the status of this defense? How are we going to get better on the defensive side of the ball? Because it has to get better. You cannot allow teams to routinely run for over 200 yards on you. You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. And that is what has happened for the Raiders the past 2 weeks. First, the New York Jets, and now the Indianapolis Colts. Back-to-back weeks of 200-plus yards. And as I said, the man who will be tasked with righting that ship. And let's be honest about the ship here. There are some talented pieces. Like, the cupboards are not bare on the Raiders' defense. We got some good players. There are players on that team individually that I really, really believe in. But now it is up to seeing a full 60 minutes from them playing as a group, playing as a unit, being together, and playing their best game of 2020 Thursday night under the lights. And Rod Marinelli is going to be the one that is going to have to captain that ship. So, Engineer Jim, load it up, brother, and let's play the entirety, the full thing from start to finish, Rod Marinelli's press conference from Tuesday.
Well, I think you got to be efficient with your time and efficient with your message. And it's got to be clear and precise and then believable, and so you give yourself an opportunity to achieve. That's how I do it. I just plan that every day.
Rod, when you look at the way the defense has played in the past couple of weeks, especially, it seemed like there's some progress earlier in the season, but the last couple of weeks, especially the run defense. What do you see as the glaring issues there?
Well, it's the things we got to do, especially in our run. It's got to do our job at the end of the day, coach and player. It's not on the player. It's coaches together and players together. So that's the thing you're trying to emphasize with each man, doing our job, and it's part of the teacher's job. They reflect the coach at the end of the day. So we just go back. Don't change anything and just keep trying to get better at it, especially in a short week.
Hey, Rod, Jerry McDonald, the Bay Area News Group. What is realistic for you to be able to accomplish with such a short run-up to a Thursday game?
Yeah, I think you just got to rely on your rules, okay? And whatever happens, you want to make sure guys have rules that take care of everything, which allows you to play really fast. And one thing I really believe in defense is chemistry and speed and guys working together. And the star of the defense is the defense, nobody else. And it's not a call, it's not a coach, it's not a player. It's, trying to get that continuity together in this week. And it's fun, it's a great challenge, and that I think we're all up for it.
Hey, Rod, when it comes to generating more of a pass rush, is that something that you think comes through a schematic change, or is it just guys performing better within the roles that they already have?
And that's a great question. The thing is, you have to keep developing it, and you got to believe in it, and you got to keep pushing it. It's not been good enough. Coach or player hasn't been good enough yet, but I just keep believing in these men. And I just know if we just keep driving it and pushing it, we're going to have good results because they work every second of every day. So I think it starts with a belief, and I have a strong belief in them.
Rod, I know there's not a lot of time to change schematics and schemes and things like that, but does it come down, will there be some alterations, or does it come down to more how you apply those during the course of the game?
I think we got our package established, so it's really hard, within a day or two and a few walkthroughs to get everything done. So we got our system, and we just kind of constantly working on refining certain things that we do well and things that we believe in. Paul left a great base here, and now we just got to be able to make sure we're on top of it, and if we have to hone things down, that's what we'll do.
Hey, Rod, Carl Nassib has been a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks. How do you get more out of Carl?
I think he's been working hard, and he's spent some good time on the field, and opportunity comes, I think he'll have a good game. I really do.
Rod, you talked about doing what you guys do well. What is the strength of this defense, you think?
Well, what I want it to be is have an identity of a bunch of men together, star of the defense, working together, and working together in terms of knowing exactly what we're supposed to do, our discipline, all those things, something we've been striving on. But I think if you just keep hitting on it, and the identity, I think you got to hit like a Raider. You got to hit like a Raider, and you got to have great tempo and great pursuit and gang tackle. And that takes no talent, none, okay? It's having an attitude and a will to do that. Now, I emphasize, that's who I've been my whole career. And that's why I just kind of keep imparting and just keep driving home with it. But when you play together like and you play fast, you know what you're doing, I think you got a chance to create great energy and hopefully create takeaways down the field.
Coach, can you just kind of walk us through the emotions of Sunday night? You guys lose a game, obviously nobody's happy, you find out this is going to happen. Like, what was Sunday night like for you?
Just like that. No changes. I don't change. I don't care what happens, up and down. It's how you respond. And my respond is with poise and patience. Poise, God, I believe what I'm doing. And panic, you don't know what you're doing. So it's all poise.
Rod, Coach, Gruden says that you seem to almost like adversity and even thrive in cases of adversity. And, with that in mind, do you even know who you have at your disposal yet Thursday night and how with all these moving parts, how difficult is it to prepare?
Yeah, you know, we got the guys, we feel we got a good handle on who's up. And we just, I think at that point, you know, you show belief in men and that we're going to get it done. I don't care who's up, who's not, but the non-talented things, the things that take no talent, effort, hustle, knowing exactly what to do, being disciplined, staying on sides, that takes no talent. And that just takes guys that want to. I'm going to build off the want to this week. It's a short week, but that's what I enjoy. And rally men around. Really go play hard and fast in any circumstances.
Rod, when people mention you, your age usually comes out pretty quickly. How much longer do you want to coach, and do you want this job next season?
All I do is work right now. Me, coaching, it's people bring this age up, man. I tell you what now, I want to see them step in my shoes and have my juice, okay? And I love it. So I don't ever look past it right there. I just want to go do a great job right now. And our job is to help these men. That's my job. And that's what we lock in at and go.
Let's do two more, Anthony, and then Omar.
Coach, what do you want to see for the players in the next three games?
Well, I'd start with game one right now. And I want to see discipline, knowing exactly what we're doing. Know exactly. It takes no talent. I keep saying that. And I want to see great energy and tackling. And gang tackling. Guys are hustling the ball, and I think when you see that, they enjoy it. And I just want to see that part of it, that we really enjoy this game. And you can't enjoy it one or two guys. It's got to be a team defense. And defense is about team, quick, fast, and physical. Quick, fast, and physical. And that's what I keep preaching, and we'll see.
Hey, Rod, how do you approach facing a rookie quarterback for the second time on the season? You still looking to throw stuff at him that he hasn't seen yet? You try to enhance on the things you did right last time? Just how do you take that approach? Yeah,
I think that's a great question. And so you got to be careful how much you do new in a week. And, you know, because you don't want to beat yourself easy. I mean, that's number one. But I think everything I look at right now for us in a short week is what we do well. Not so much the opponent. Okay, I respect them, all that, but we got to make sure we know what we're doing, how we execute, how we work together, how we tackle, how we strip a ball. That's a ton of stuff to do. And so it's not so much the opponent. I want to approach it as us, what we do well. And then can we do it for four quarters, which I know we can.
Great. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, man. Good. Good to see you.
So as I said, guys, man, I hope you come away from that press conference. I hope you come away from that conversation hearing Coach Marinelli talk for the first time as defensive coordinator. I hope you come away excited, hopeful, and ready to rock Thursday night, because I know you guys won't be in the stadium with us, but we need your passion from home. We need you to be with us, and let's buckle up and let's get weird over the next 3 weeks. Let's just have a lot of fun playing some football, watching some football, and talking about some football. I'm with it. That feels good to me. Hope you guys are down. So before we welcome in the great KMM and knock out the rest of the show, get on out of here and hit the old dusty trail, let's just hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And it's about that time to wrap up the show in the way that we always do. And man, I'm so excited to welcome the great KMM back. It's Victory Formation, Eddie Pascal. And as I said, back into the fold after a week away because of some technical difficulties, no one to blame. We have back with us the one and only Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Martin. KMM, how the heck are you, brother?
I'm ready to roll, man. I mean, Sunday's game wasn't a great outcome, but I'm still optimistic and hopeful for this Thursday.
We got to be. We got no choice but to be optimistic. We got 3 weeks left. We got three chapters of this book to write left, or three chapters left to write, I should say, KMM. And we have to make the absolute best of them. So before we move on to Thursday night, and Thursday night is, I mean, not to overstate it, is literally a must win for this team if they want to keep the playoffs in the realm of possibility. But just going back to Sunday for a second, I mean, what happened? I'm still a little bamboozled, baffled, confused. I guess I blacked out. I don't know. But what, when you looked at the game, when you watched the back, I mean, what happened, bro?
A lot of bad angles defensively. You know, I told you off air, keep an eye on Jonathan Taylor. He could do some serious damage. And what did he do?
Some serious damage.
I mean, the Colts have a phenomenal offensive line. So, you know, they've always been able to run the ball pretty well. But Jonathan Taylor specifically, talented rookie out of Wisconsin, could have won the Heisman last year. He's a big physical back. And even though he's that size and he's got that strength to pound and punish defenders, he had wide open lanes where no one was even near him, especially on that 62-yard run to the house. So the run game, we've said it constantly, haven't we? The Raiders will win if they can control the run and control the clock, but they cannot do that lately. And that, the Colts clearly knew how to game plan for the Raiders this week.
I mean, ultimately, and we can call a spade, and we'll talk about it a little bit before we move on, but the fact that in back-to-back weeks now, the Silver and Black's defense has surrendered north of 200 rushing yards. Unacceptable. Not going to get the job done. And really, it's a big reason why Paul Gunther is no longer on this staff and is no longer the defensive coordinator of the Silver and Black. But I'm looking at the numbers right now, KMM. Your close personal friend Jonathan Taylor averages 7.5 yards a carry. And it's not like he ran the ball 3 or 4 times. He ran it at 20 times at a clip of 7.5 yards a carry. So if I'm just doing the math, and you know I'm not a mathematician, I'm not a guru, but if you hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor on 1st and 10, the Colts are then operating in 2nd and 3, 2nd and 2 most of the time. I mean, that's just not winning football. And then you look at on our side of things, on the Silver and Black side of things, 79 rushing yards for just over 3.5. And it's so baffling to me, Kyle, that we had the first part of the year, and even when we weren't winning games, right? We were winning a good amount of games, but even in the games that we weren't winning, you at least were able to kind of hang your hat on, yep, it wasn't our day today, but running the ball well, Josh and the boys doing their things, the offensive line's, you know, holding up. And for the past couple weeks, I mean, really, it's about a month. This run game for the Raiders has just not been able to get any type of positive momentum going in the least, brother. It's been troubling.
It's been troubling for sure. I will say it is positive to see that the offense has picked it up, though. Obviously, you know, against the Jets, they scored 28 points. I mean, it shouldn't have even come down to what it came down to. But last week, decent offensive output against the Colts, too. I mean, I just don't know, man. I mean, ever since the Chiefs game, everyone was singing our praises. Everyone was saying the Raiders are a contender. They may have lost to the Chiefs, but they played their hearts out. This does not look like the same football team that it did 3 weeks ago. No. I don't know what's changed. Obviously, it's changed in the sense that defensive coordinator Paul Gunther is no longer the defensive coordinator. But, I mean, geez. And you listen to Gruden during his press conference, and he says, I'm not going to make excuses. And then he rattles off, you know, a bunch of injuries and circumstances that have hindered the Raiders during practice and on the field on Sundays. But I don't know if I have the answer. I don't know why the run game has been lacking as of late. Is Josh Jacobs still banged up? We know that he's been playing through stuff. He's a warrior, but I mean, the offensive line for the most part's been intact. You know, Denzel Good playing well. Trent Brown finally came back this past week. Rodney Hudson still an all-pro center and deserves to be. Colton Miller not playing poorly. I mean, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And Derek Carr's been throwing the ball downfield, so you can't say that the defense has been loading the box to make Derek Carr throw downfield. It's concerning, especially as you have to win these last three games.
Let me ask you this, Kyle, and we're going to talk about OG Rod Marinelli in just a sec, but kind of just putting a bow on kind of the state of the offense. I was talking about this with our close personal friend Jason Fitz after the game on Sunday night, and I asked him, I said, Fitz, does it feel like the offense is kind of having an identity crisis? And you look at the numbers, and the numbers aren't terrible, right? The past couple of weeks, they're middle of the road numbers, and this is still a top half of the NFL offense we're talking about for the 2020 Raiders. But going back to that first portion of the year, there was an identity, a clear identity on offense. Defensively, we can talk about the, you know, the shortcomings and what needed to be better. We can talk about that till the cows come home, and we'll, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit. But offensively, there was an identity. There was like a thesis. There was a mission statement to this offense. They're going to run the ball. They're going to work off the play action. Derek was going to take his chances when he got them. He was going to be a floor general. He was going to get them into the right looks, but they were going to be a run-first team. Now, I look at the past month, and I don't really know what the identity of this offense is. And granted, the past couple games, you're playing catch-up a lot, so you don't really have a chance to establish the run, so the numbers are skewed a little bit in that sense. But do you feel like this offense has an identity right now, KMM? Because I don't know if I do.
I don't either. I feel like you could tell that the team doesn't have an identity based on that trick play with Zay Jones this past week. Do I commend Coach Gruden for calling a play that's kind of outside of his comfort zone? Is that fair to say? Not, maybe not outside of his comfort zone, but outside of his regularly scheduled script, right?
Sure, I'd agree with that.
You wouldn't have to resort to plays like that if you could rely on the identity that's gotten you to this point. I mean, there's no run game compared to like what it has been the past season and a half.
I mean, so, let's not to cut you off, Kamen, but let's also remind ourselves that a month ago, well, maybe a little over a month ago now, but this is a Raiders offense that eclipsed the 200-yard mark on the ground twice in 3 weeks. Twice in 3 weeks. There's some teams that don't do that in a year. And the Raiders did it twice in 3 weeks. And now you look at the struggles on the ground, and it is very baffling. I don't understand it.
It could be, too. I mean, have the Raiders been ahead in most of the games the last 3 weeks?
No, certainly not.
So they've been constantly playing from behind, which means obviously you're going to have to throw the ball and you're going to have to try to pick up the tempo a little bit, gain bigger yardage. And so that obviously plays a factor. But even still, I mean, running is a crucial part of what the Raiders do, and they're great at it. I wouldn't say that Josh Jacobs is playing poorly or that, you know, there's an issue with Josh Jacobs, but because it's just across the board, right? I mean, Devontae Booker was having a hell of a season. He was the underrated, the unsung hero guy on this offense, and he's hit a slump. So it's alarming, but not as alarming as giving up 200 rushing yards back-to-back weeks and one of those weeks to the Jets, in my opinion. If I have to focus on one thing that's a bigger issue, it's the run defense, because that has got to change.
Yeah, and key to that change, shout out to Segway, KMM, good for you. Key to that change now will be Rod Marinelli. And obviously, you know, you and I personally really enjoyed Coach Gunther. He was always very good to us. But calling a spade and just looking at this objectively, it wasn't working. And I think that defensively, when I look back at it now over the past, 14, 15 weeks, it just wasn't getting any better. And you and I have had this talk every week, it feels like, where we talk about, we look back at the week previous, and we say, hey, you know, this was a great moment for the defense. They played a really good half. They played a really good quarter. But I feel like you and I have not been able to sit here as we record and say, hey, the defense played a really good game. And I think that's where the problem lies. And I think obviously the past 2 weeks, looking at the numbers on the ground, they are bad. They were not good. And I think that's ultimately what resulted in Coach Gunther being relieved of his duties and now enter Rod Marinelli. But if there's one thing, KMM, that Rod Marinelli has to do over the next 3 weeks, it is figure out how to stop the run, right? Like, that's not crazy. If there's one thing, if number one on his list has to be getting that remedied.
Yeah, absolutely. And hearing him speak to the media on Tuesday was so refreshing because, you're right. I want to also preface this by saying Coach Gunther was always very kind to us. He was a stand-up guy. Really appreciated his time the past three seasons. But it was refreshing to just hear a new voice because a lot of the time it felt like, not that he wasn't being accountable or that, it just felt like Coach Gunther needed to take a look in the mirror almost and look at the defense and say, rather than like, yeah, you know, we got to clean, like being vague about the things that need to be cleaned up. Rod Marinelli was very direct. And it was the fact that this defense has not played fundamentally sound football for the past who knows how long now, right? You go out and you get linebacker Corey Littleton, you get Carl Nassib, you add all these pieces And the defense looks the exact same, if not worse, than it did a season ago. And you could attest that to, you know, continuity and getting familiar and people being injured. But when it comes to the basics of tackling and playing with tenacity and passion, it wasn't there. It was lacking. No one was diving to the football. It just didn't look that way. You know, I'm sitting on the couch watching the game, so for, you know, a guy who's not a football guy, that's my analysis. But Rod Marinelli seems like the kind of guy who's so calm when he spoke to the media, but he was so, it resonated with you. It got you fired up to hear him say, we need a tackle like Raider football. We have to play aggressive and angry and all the gang tackling at once. You have to do that. And I feel like he's going to get this unit back to the fundamentals, the basics, and hopefully from there they can rebuild on those things, because right now there's no foundation. There's nothing that they're relying on right now that's getting the job done clearly.
And hearing Coach Marinelli talk today, I think my biggest takeaway at KMM was he's a man in control. He understands the challenge ahead of him. And let's be honest, he's got 3 weeks to figure this out. You know, at this point, the playoffs are not guaranteed. The Raiders unfortunately no longer control their own destiny, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But they need to, before they have any talk about the postseason, they got to handle business the next 3 weeks. And so I think Coach Marinelli was very honest. He was very blunt about his assessment of where things are. He's like, look, we can't worry about anything else. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in January and February. We got to figure out a way to get this fixed today. And I think, like I said, the one word that kind of comes to mind when I think back on his press conference is that it was just control. He seemed very in control of the situation. And you bring up a great point where we're looking at this defense in 2020, call it, what is it, week 16, week 15 KMM. And if we go back a year, it's hard to say that the defense right now is better than the defense from 2019 at this point. And that's a problem. That's not good. The fact that, as you said, so many resources were put into this side of the ball. You look at Corey Littleton, you look at Carl Nassib, Damon Arnett got drafted. And I know, I understand that Damon's going through an injury situation, so it's not entirely fair to lump him in with that group. But it's not like the Raiders just completely forgot that there was a defense. But for whatever reason, and you know, unfortunately, Paul Gunther is the one who has to pay the price for there not being any production on that side of the ball. There's something's got to change. Something has to change. And I think for me, when I look back over the past couple of weeks specifically, the thing that was the most disheartening, Kyle, was when you looked at the Raiders and them line up on their defensive front, I leaned over to Walks at one point during the game on Sunday, our close personal friend and social czar, Matt Walks. And I said, Walksy boy, the Colts are essentially Raidering us, where they're lining up, they're running the ball. Everyone in this stadium, all 85 people, they all know what's going to happen, and we just had no answer for it. And that's where the 7.5 yards a carry comes from. 200 plus yards back-to-back weeks. And I think it just got to a point where it's just discouraging. And you look at poor Derek Carr and this offense, and these guys, they have to know, and they'll never say it because they're good teammates, but it got to the point where they probably felt like they had to score every single time they had the ball. And in the NFL, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're Pat Daddy Mahomes, that's just not feasible.
Yeah, I agree. And you bring up an excellent point where it became apparent very early on the Colts opening drive, they were going to pound the rock. They were going to dominate the time of possession by just gaining chunk yards with that big offensive line and their powerful running back and their dynamic running back, Nyheim Hines. And you knew it was coming every time, and they couldn't stop it. And you would think, too, for a team that's faced Phillip Rivers so many times, right? Even though, you know, Coach Gunther and the whole staff coached against Phil Rivers for 3 years. That's 6 times, right? You would think you'd know that Phillip Rivers is going to throw up a couple 50-50 balls, right? Phillip Rivers is not the same guy that he was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. He's still playing at a high level. He's getting the job done for the Colts, but they're a run-first team. So load the box, make Phillip Rivers take his shots. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't force his hand, and they couldn't make him throw up these lobs that Eric Harris has been able to pick off in years past. It's just one of those things that it's kind of head scratching. It's like, just playing. I don't know. I'm not going to accuse the guys of not playing with effort, because they play with effort every single down and every single play and in every single game. But it's I hope this coaching change energizes the unit. Maybe they'll respond to it, whether, you know, they feel accountable for the loss of Coach Gunther, or, you know, Rod Marinelli really, you know, connects with them. But one way or another, things had to change. We know Raider Nation was clamoring for it. And again, you never want to see someone lose their job, especially in these times, but it needed to happen.
Very well said. The last thing I'll add before we move on is the cupboard is not bare for Coach Marinelli. I mean, you look at guys like Trayvon, Max, Klee, John Abram, Damon Arnett, Nick Morrow's having a heck of a 2020. I mean, there are talented pieces there, and it is up to him over the next 3 weeks to get the most out of those guys. Because, like I said, we are not talking about a side that is devoid of talent. Corey Littleton is there. Like, there are guys there that can make plays. And now, frankly, one, those dudes got to figure out a way to do it, and Rod Marinelli has to be the advocate. He's got to be the vessel to get them to do that. And if he can do that, if he can work his magic on this group, hey, crazier things have happened over the final 3 weeks of an NFL season. You and I both know that. But speaking of these final 3 weeks, KMM, are we in a position we got to run the table? Like, is that what it's come to? I know you're much more in the numbers than I am. Is that what the situation we find ourselves in headed into Thursday night?
If the Ravens would have lost against the Browns on Monday Night Football, I would say no. But, yes, at this point, you have to win every single game, because the Miami Dolphins are standing in your way of getting a wild card spot also. And you have to win every game. You have to win every game. And don't get me wrong, the Chargers and the Broncos are certainly winnable games, even the Dolphins. But the Dolphins are going to be a tough test. You can't underestimate the Chargers. The Broncos, who knows what you're going to get. But it all starts on Thursday. Short weeks aren't easy, especially against divisional opponents who know you well. But in order to carve a path to the postseason tournament, Eddie, it all has to go win, win, win.
And it all starts on Thursday night, because as you said, look, I mean, at least on paper, there are some very winnable games coming up for the Silver and Black. But like, let's be honest, we thought the Jets was going to be a blowout game. We look at the Falcons, that should have been a winnable game. I mean, this team, unfortunately, for the past couple weeks has not won the type of games that we thought they were going to win. So, look, anything can happen. It is truly a week-by-week league. We both know that. But they got to have a really good week this week to keep their keep that playoff ship afloat, brother. And you and I both know that is a ship that we very, very, very badly want to be on. But it's not going to be easy on Thursday night. It's never easy, right? We talk about the short week. We talk about a division team coming in. We talk about a young upstart quarterback who's playing a really good brand of football, go Ducks. They're coming off of a big win against the Falcons. Like, I mean, it is going to be a really, really good game on Thursday night. But unfortunately, and this is not, the Raiders are not alone in this, but they're going to go into the game, KMM, without a bunch of really key guys. And so I'm just going to rattle off three, and I want to know who you're most concerned about missing the game. Henry Ruggs on the COVID list probably won't go. John Abram has not practiced this week dealing with a concussion. His situation looks not good as of this point to play on Thursday night. And the same deal with Nick Morrow. So of those three, Ruggs, Abram, and Morrow, who are you most concerned about missing Thursday night against the Bolts?
I feel like the answer has to be Abram, but I'm going to say, I mean, because Jonathan Abram's led the team in tackles several times this year. Obviously, when he's back there, the defense looks completely different. There's more speed, and it's just vastly improved. So not having him back there is going to hurt. But I'm going to say Henry Ruggs because of a couple of reasons, and I don't want to give him away just yet, because one of them will be the Raiders will win if. But I'll say on offense, I mean, Henry Ruggs, he might not be accruing the yards and the targets and the receptions that someone who goes early in the first round might expect them to have. But there's no denying the impact that he has on what defensive coordinators have to scheme towards. I mean, speed, you can't teach it. You have to account for it at all times. And he's a threat. I mean, look, against the Jets, if you don't have Henry Ruggs and he doesn't beat his defender, you're not winning that game. You're not going to have someone streak downfield with that speed. It's unmatched, aside, unless you have Tyreek Hill, which obviously the Raiders don't. So he's going to play a role. And without him being able to stretch the field, the run game gets that much harder because then teams have to encroach a little bit more. They know that it's going to be underneath routes and short yardage, and it's going to make the run game even harder. So while Jonathan Abram will be definitely missed, I'm going to say Henry Ruggs, and I'll give you another reason for him later on.
Well said. Well said. I mean, you bring up great points where you're looking at, quote, home run threats on this offense. And this isn't a shot at anyone else on the offense. I think if you're looking at true home run threats, you're looking at Henry Ruggs and you're looking at Josh Jacobs. And Josh is a different kind of threat than Henry Ruggs is. So to have Henry Ruggs out of the game, even though, like you said, the stats aren't the most robust this year, he is a guy that has to always be accounted for if you're an opposing defensive coordinator. I'm going to say, and this might kind of surprise you a little bit, KMM, I'm going to say I'm really worried about Nick Morrow if he can't go. He is very quietly, I think it's fair to say, been the best linebacker on this Raiders roster for all of 2020. A dude that has kind of just very quietly gone about his business and really had, over the past couple of weeks in particular, a good amount of explosive plays. And if the Chargers want to run the ball, and at this point, you got to just run the ball and dare this Raiders defense to stop you, having a guy like Morrow in the fold is going to be very, very crucial. I know he's not the biggest guy. I understand that. But just having a guy who's so familiar with the system, a guy who has been who's gotten better and better and better, it feels like week after week after week. I'm not feeling great if he's unable to go on Thursday night. But you kind of teed me up a little bit, KMM, so I'll just ask you. We ask ourselves the same questions every week. I feel like we drive ourselves crazy as of late asking ourselves this question. But the Raiders will win Thursday night, KMM, if?
Look, the obvious one is that the Raiders will win Thursday night if they can stop the run. But that's not what I'm going to do. I figure that's what you're going to do. So I'm going to pivot a little bit, and I'm going to say the Raiders will win on Thursday night if they win the special teams battle.
Oh, God bless you.
I know this is a battle that's very near and dear to your heart, and I'm going to choose it because the Chargers have been abysmal on special teams this year.
An atrocity.
I don't know if you recall a couple weeks ago when they played the Patriots, and the Patriots housed two special teams touchdowns against them. They've also had a blocked PAT or a field goal, I should say. And Anthony Lynn took over special teams coaching duties. And last week, to end the first half, they ran the ball with 12 seconds left on the clock, I think, and they were unable to get the special teams unit on the field. There was confusion about what was going on, and they ended up not getting the playoff. They ended up going in the locker room at the 10-yard line without any points. And that falls solely on Anthony Lynn. And lately, the special teams and the coaching decisions haven't been great. I think that's fair to say for the Chargers. And so if the Raiders can take advantage of those miscues, I think it'll pay dividends. And that's why I think Henry Ruggs not being active for this game is going to be an issue. Because obviously his speed is clutch. It's crucial. And when he's back there on kick returns, he's electric. You don't know if he's going to house it. He has yet to do it this season, obviously. But the threat is there. The potential for it is there. We'll see. Hunter Renfro's had some nice returns on punts this year. But I think it's going to be the special teams battle that decides it all.
Oh, that just warms my heart, Kame. And it warms me heart to hear that you've dedicated the Raiders a win if to special teams. And mine's going to be really simple. It's not going to be very glamorous. It's not going to be a sexy boy. The Raiders are going to win on Thursday night if the defense plays their best game of 2020. Not their best quarter, not their best half, their best game. 60 minutes against a really good Chargers offense. That's it. That's what this game is going to come down to. I believe as much as the past couple weeks they haven't gone to plan offensively, I still very much believe in this Raiders offense. Do I have more concerns than I did a month ago, maybe? Possibly. But I, in my heart of hearts, at my core, I believe in this Raiders offense. So it's going to come down to me for the defense. Can they play their best 60 minutes of the year? And if they can, I think you and I are going to enjoy a beautiful victory Friday, and we will enjoy a real weekend for once. But it's going to be a good game, man. I mean, we talk about all the variables that go into this. Short week, prime time, division foe, excellence. It is going to be really good. But there are going to be some bad games, KMM. Games that are an atrocity. Games that are just going to put us to sleep. So without further ado, what's KMM's boring game of the week this week?
Well, Eddie, I'm going to give you a small boring game of the week because I know how much you hate preseason.
Oh, it's the worst.
Preseason basketball is going on right now. Oh. So I'm just going to say real quick that preseason basketball is always the boring game of the week. But the main attraction, the headliner, is going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams aren't playing for anything at this point. There's no way the 49ers are going to make the postseason. They're not going to win the division. Same goes for, well, the NFC East has gotten a lot better in the last few weeks, and I feel like the Washington football team are distancing themselves. The Cowboys are currently sitting at the bottom of the division, so I feel like it's fair to say that they're not going anywhere. It's just a game, you know.
Who cares?
There's plenty of Cowboys
fans. It's a who cares
game. Yeah, there's plenty of Cowboys fans out there. There's plenty of Niners fans out there, but who cares? I'm not watching it. You shouldn't either. Unless, I will say, though, fantasy playoffs, it's the semifinals, so I get it. If you have to watch that game for a guy that's on your team, but if you don't have any fantasy implications, tune out. Don't bother.
This is the Niners' first appearance in Boring Game of the Week this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It might be. I'm not going to say it's the Cowboys' first appearance because the Cowboys, we all know the kind of football they've been playing in 2020. So maybe they've appeared. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the Niners, yes.
Dude, you know what I was thinking about as I was driving into the studio tonight? We're getting really close to our second annual Boring Game of the Year celebration. We're like less than a month out.
This year has gone by too fast.
I know,
but
brother.
No, not too fast. It can't go by fast enough, but...
Yeah, let's turn that calendar, huh?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I know we all are.
In the spirit of turning calendars, in the spirit of rebirth, in the spirit of just putting 2020 behind us, baby. Let's crack a few ice cold Coors Lights, get out of here, huh?
Let's do it.
You want to go first? You want me to go first? Are you happy or are you sad?
It's a good one. In the same vein as turning the calendar and, you know, rejoicing at the light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. You've intrigued me. Go ahead.
Vaccine started this week. The Pfizer company has rolled out their vaccine, and doctors and the elderly have been receiving their shots. And it's just an exciting glimmer of hope for things to come.
So
who knows how long it'll take for everyone to get a vaccine, or for them to accommodate and produce that many vaccines, but still, we've waited a long time for this to come.
We sure have. So who are you cracking the cold one for? The vaccine itself, or?
I'm going to crack the cold one for, yeah, the people who developed the vaccine, who put in hours and hours of work to try and come up with this as fast as they can and have it be as effective and safe as it can be. So I'm going to crack a cold one for the people who dedicated long hours to making sure the world can continue to go round and round.
Bravo. Actually, I'm a big This American Life fan. The old man in me loves that program. And actually, on this week's episode, and I don't even know I'm going to pub them since they're not giving us any money, but it is public radio, so I guess it is a good thing. One of the stories that they did was about a woman just about your age, KMM, who actually started working on the vaccine and kind of found herself just completely, I mean, obsessed in a good way about getting a vaccine and getting some treatment to help fight COVID. And it was a really, really good story. It was crazy. She was only 25 years old, and she kind of fell into, you know, working on this, and it was a great story. So those of you who are so inclined, go check it out. But good cold one, KMM.
I'll definitely go check that story out. That sounds pretty intriguing.
Yeah, very intriguing. Very, very intriguing. I'm going to crack a cold one I'm going to have to do a brief backstory. I mean, I'm going to crack a cold one for all of our retail workers, all of our brothers and sisters on the front lines out there dealing with all this holiday shopping. I'm going to crack a cold one for them. But the reason I'm going to crack a cold one for them is because the other day, the boss has requested a few items for Christmas. You know, we're not doing anything really big this year, but she wanted a few small things. And so I went to the store. I can't say which store because it'll probably give it away And I don't think she listens to the show, but you never know. Knowing my luck, the one time she listens, she'll figure out what she's getting for Christmas. But I went to the store, and the item that she had requested was kind of, I would say it's obscure to you and I. Like, you and I wouldn't know what this item was, but people who are interested in this would certainly know. So I go up to the one of the sales associates, and I say, hey, guy, I'm looking for item X. Do you know where I can find it? And hand to God, booby, this guy, like, goes into the matrix for like 10 seconds. Like, he like takes a deep breath, and you like kind of see him, like, you know, the numbers are going in his head, and he goes, all right, cross over, cross the hallway, two aisles down to your right, and it'll be on the lowest shelf. And lo and behold, I followed this man's directions, and this item was right where he said it was going to be. And I was like, that was really expletive impressive. Like, he was on it. He was on it for sure.
I wonder how many times he's been asked about where that is.
That's a good question. As I said, it's kind of an obscure item, so I can't imagine he's asked all that often, which really, to me, makes his knowledge even all the more impressive.
Yeah, he's dedicated to his craft, man. He knows the ins and outs of the trade.
Yeah, he's dedicated. He's making sure that we're all getting in and out. We're getting safe. It was incredible. It was simply put, I was in awe of him. It was a tremendous 10 out of 10 effort. So I'm cracking a cold one for not only him, but for all the folks out there who are helping dummies like me find their last minute Christmas gifts. So on that note, we're going to hit the old dusty trail, and we are rapidly approaching the holidays, but we got more time. We have a few more shows in us before we hit the holiday break. So for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, the great KMM, I don't even want to say our guest this week, but a big thank you to Rod Marinelli for allowing us to use his press conference sound. My man Damon and Ari at Raider Nation Radio behind the ones and twos, making us sound much better than we actually do sound in real life. And for everyone else, I should say, at Silver and Black Productions, who helps our little program get from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will catch you guys, I'm trying to think, let me do my math. We will catch you guys post-game, even though we're playing Thursday night, we will catch you post-game for our usual after-the-game edition of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.